Blog Talk
Good evening.
Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And this show is a guide to the listening audience in an interactive conversation with Brother Mark Shaheed and Patricia Salahuddin. On effective parenting, this episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children. Listeners are invited to bring questions as well as their parenting experience to the Learning Lab. And without any further ado, we want to introduce our host for this evening, Brother Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, 1,444 years ago, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host and the facilitator and producer along with Dr. Patricia Salahuddin of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that's heard each and every Wednesday night right here on IWDM Radio. And we want to welcome those who may be listening in for the first time. We want you to know that this, in fact, is your Learning Lab. Dr. Salahuddin and myself, we do invite you to ask questions and to make comments on the information that we'll be disseminating tonight or in previous episodes here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And for you to be able to do that, all you have to do is press 1. And we are aware of the fact that we have a lot of people that listen in by way of the Internet, and we would like for you to be a participant in this Learning Lab. And for you to do that, you do have to call in to the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. And we do ask that you bring an open mind, an open heart to this Learning Lab. And because it is a Learning Lab, we do ask that you have your pen and your pad, for there will be some noteworthy things that will be said, and you will want to perhaps take note to ask a question or make a comment. We do invite you that this time that you can text or email or what, Instagram or what, to your family, friends, community members, that the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is live on air here on IWDM Radio. Give you opportunity to do that as we give a prelude, as we always do before we go into tonight's Learning Lab. This Learning Lab is going on almost 6 years. It'll be 6 years in January 2023, as it was started on the sister station AM 360 radio back in the year of 2017. So we've been at it for a few years, and we say all praise is due to Allah, all praise is due to God, you know, for this Learning Lab. We also want you to know that this Learning Lab has a foundation, and it's based on three sources. I didn't say resources, but three sources. The first source is Al-Quran. Al-Quran is the final revelation that Almighty God has given to all of humanity. The second source is the life example or the demonstration in living the Quran in the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. And the third source that we use as a foundation is the tafsir. Tafsir means the clear explanation by our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warith al-Din Muhammad. Those are the three sources that we use here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Also, in following the lead of our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Warith al-Din Muhammad, when he said that in definition is direction. I've also added correction, too, because if we misdefine terms and all, then we can be incorrect and be misdirected. So having a very simplistic and very profound definition for parenting helps us to give direction and correction to what parenting and what their role and responsibility is. So we've given a very simplistic and a very profound definition, and that is that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our baby girls and baby boys from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and a big responsibility that we have as parents, and we want to dismiss the misnomer that that's only the role and responsibility of the mother. No, it is the role and responsibility of both the mother and the father, okay? So remember that acronym for the word family, father and mother inevitably loving you. Also, the role and responsibility of both parents is to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, then their family, and then their community. And then we say, inshallah, which means God willing, that the parents, being conscious and regardful of their role and their relationship and responsibility to their children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. We also have established here on the Learning Lab that Almighty God, Allah, is the first teacher of all of his human creation. He's the first teacher. However, he has bestowed the honor and the distinction to the mothers to be the first teachers and the first leaders, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that means the prayers and the peace be upon the Prophet, has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, which means different meanings, but he has given an honor distinction that she is the first one to give the care, but also to teach not only our baby girls, but our baby boys foundational knowledge. And so with that being said, it is traditional here, for those who may be tuned in for the first time, that we always have an overview from the last production that we had here on IWDM Radio. And for that, we go to our very distinguished esteemed co-host and co-facilitator and producer of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. Want to extend the greetings to you, and it was great to see you. A time to be grateful to actually see a face with the voice that I've been talking to for almost over a year now. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean.
Alaikum salam, Brother Mark, and the feeling is mutual. How are you doing this evening?
Well, you know, I'm always amped up on Wednesday because it's Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And, you know, my sentiments are the same as yours, because if we're ever going to remake the world and we're going to correct the things that are incorrect, it has to start in the first social unit in human society, and that is the sacred institution of family. That's where it begins. And so we're trying to make a difference by having this Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we teach what correct parenting is, how to reconstruct the destructive family life. Thank you. Back to you, Dr. Slaw-Dean.
You are so welcome. And from the perspective of the Quran and Sunnah, alhamdulillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. To hear the entire episode from last week, please go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The resource we are using for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ekram and Dr. Muhammad Rida Bashir. The book can be purchased from Amana Book Publications, www.amana-publications.com, and also from Amazon. In last week's episode, we addressed the topic, clear and effective communication. In the beginning, Brother Mark pointed out how clear and effective communication is taught by Allah through the clear and explicit message revealed in the Quran, starting with chapter 2 of Baqarah. In the first verse, Allah tells mankind that the Quran is a book with no doubt and guidance. This verse is an example of Allah's clear and direct communication to his creation. Next, Brother Mark shared chapters 42, Ashura, mutual consultation. In verse 38 of this chapter, mankind is encouraged to communicate with each other through mutual consultation. Brother Mark also pointed out that Salah is a form of communication because when we recite Quran, it keeps us upright. He noted that verses in Quran are explicit and clear, making them perfect examples of clear and effective communication given to mankind by our Creator, Allah. Brother Mark emphasized that mankind should be communicating with each other in all relationships, community, business, and family. He shared three messages that man receives from Allah. Respect one another, spend out of what Allah has provided for you, and establish regular prayer. Allah is a master communicator. There is no crookedness in Allah's revelation. To parents, communication starts with the understanding that we should be teaching our children by demonstration, through experience, and through assessment. Elaborating on the point of communicating with children, Brother Rashid expressed that to become an effective communicator, to become effective communicators, the parents and all of us need to perform a self-assessment to identify interruptions and pitfalls that may prevent effective communication with our children and others. Brother Mark introduced the four hats that parents wear. The host hat. He says, this hat, the parent is saying something good to our children. That's the host, saying good things to the children, saying positive things to your children. The doctor's hat. This is the parent asking good thought-provoking questions. And the hat of the counselor, being a listener, listening well to the message that your children or thoughts that your children are sharing with you. And the travel agent. This transformation helps our children to get to their destination. Brother Rashid emphasized the community of self, that we should learn from the community of self. He reminded the audience that children learn what they live, and we should be aware of adverse childhood experience. ACE. In conclusion, Brother Rashid summed up the points of the discussion. One, mutual consultation and communicating process given to us by Allah. It emphasizes the importance of communicating with each other. Two, self-assessment helps the human being to understand themselves. Three, be aware that words have a profound effect on children, so be careful of what you say to your children and know that your words will have an effect on the child's mind. Negative words have an adverse effect on the mind, so be careful how you speak to your children. Four, understand the human process from an Islamic perspective. Allah is the best communicator. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, that simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost always. And I want to commend you once again, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, for excellent overview. I tell you, you're truly the best in terms of extrapolating from the episodes that we have from the previous week. And for those you who missed last week's episode in terms of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, you can always go and retrieve it in our archives here at IWDM Radio. And excellent job always, Dr. Slaughter-Dean. I really want to thank you for that excellent overview. I want to just say something before we get into tonight's topic, which will still be on communication, clear and effective communication, that is. It's very, very important also to note that, you know, when we read, most of us read the Quran from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas during the month of Ramadan. But do we remember that Allah has said in the Quran that he has used every similitude in reaching and teaching his human creation, in communication? This is very, very important, and we're gonna see in terms of some of the hadiths, in terms of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tonight, as Dr. Patricia Slaughter-Dean will give us some of those hadiths that's in his outstanding publication, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet for children of various ages and stages in their life. But this cannot be overemphasized because Allah knows his human creation. He knows that he has to give different messages in different ways. This is part of Allah's Sunnah, Sunnah being Allah's way and how he communicates to his human creation. He communicates through revelation, which is the Quran and even previous scripture before that. But this final revelation, just called Quran, that which should be read, it points us to the big book, the natural creation. So Allah will often use things that are in the natural creation to create, to impart or to convey a very important message to his human creation. Matter of fact, even human society is set up based on what man has observed and studied in the natural creation. I've said before, but I think it's important to say this now, Dr. Slaughter-Dean, that even in looking up at the night sky and seeing what Imam W.D. Muhammad has said, the peace, the order, and the beauty that it is that we see there, but that we see throughout Allah's creation, is what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, who is perfect, who doesn't make mistakes, who doesn't make errors, and does not have shortcomings. He wants that to be established not only in the sacred institution of family life, but also the sacred institution of marriage life. So man has constructed his social order based on what it is that he has seen and studied in the natural creation. This is, and he learned this through Allah's communication. So it becomes the final revelation that points us. Imam Muhammad said the Quran is the small book that points us to the big book in terms of communicating in different ways, similitudes. And we're going to also see that the Prophet Muhammad, he used some of the same methods in terms of communication, in clear, effective communication, where Allah even asked the question, as many know, in Surah 55, which the time to be grateful was built off of the ayats in Surah 55. Which of your favors will you deny? That's in question form. So the conscious Muslim, the conscious mu'min, the conscious believer will not deny any of the favors that Allah has given to them. It will count those blessings, those favors of blessings to the human creation. And so Allah points to the creation, the natural creation. Will you deny this? Will you deny that? Will you deny this? Will you deny that? And then Allah, after giving you much, asks you, what is the matter with you? Allah does not ask questions because he does not know the answer. He asks questions because he wants to bring a consciousness to us in regards to the favors that he has given to us. Dr. Salahuddin, I thought I would say that. I put that on my heart to say that to our radio listening audience, and I hope that they're taking good notes when we start talking about clear and effective communication. It begins with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. So at this time, I turn it back over to you, Dr. Salahuddin, if we can begin tonight's Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Dr. Salahuddin?
Okay, thank you, Mark. Yes, we will begin with the text from the book. And in this section, the section I will read now is regarding the hadith, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most effective communicator. He used various techniques to express his views and ideas in the most effective way. The following ahadith illustrates some of these techniques. It was reported on the authority of Aisha Rahimallah Anha that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke clearly and plainly so that everyone who listened to him would understand him. Also, it was reported by Anas Rahimallah Anhu that the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to repeat his words three times so that their meaning would be fully understood. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to deliver a message to someone, he would attract their attention in various ways, such as by starting with a question. It was reported that the Prophet said, "Do you know who is a bankrupt person?" Also, during the farewell Hajj, he started his speech by asking the congregation, "Do you know which day this is? Do you know which month this is? Do you know which year this is?" So we can stop here, Mark, if you want.
That's a good place. That's a good place to stop, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. I love this. I love these hadiths that is given in terms of the Prophet Muhammad. Let's start with the first one, Dr. Salahuddin, you know, in terms of how the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he spoke, how conscious he was in terms of speaking so that he could be very clear, explicit, and when he communicated. How important is that as we relate this to our children? Because as we well know, and for those who are not Muslim, you know, the Prophet Muhammad is seen as a mercy to all of humanity. Not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the instructions for the construction of life in the Quran, but he also gave us a messenger that demonstrated those instructions for the construction of human life, even when it came down to communications. And so how important is that when you look at it, Dr. Salahuddin, when we are communicating with our children in terms of being very, very clear, being very explicit, you know, it's like Allah says in the Quran when he gives the composition of the book, you know, there are verses that are very explicit. They're very clear. They're basic and fundamental, but it's the foundation of the book. How basic and fundamental should we be in our communication to and with our children? Dr. Salahuddin?
Well, when it comes to communication, and we look at our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we look at him, peace and blessings be upon him. We look at him and note that he had a very important task, and that was to deliver the message that Allah wanted him to deliver. And he took it seriously. It was a very important task. He valued it, and he made sure that he was doing everything that he could do, that he knew to do, to deliver that message in the best manner. So
yes.
We as parents, we have a very important task, and that mm-hmm. task is to help our children to get a clear understanding of their role as human beings and to serve the Creator. They have to get to know the Creator. They have to get to know how to serve the Creator. I mean, it's a major task for us to teach our children this, starting from the time that they're very little. So we should be just as concerned and just as serious about our communication with them as the prophet was with his communication with us as human beings, and with us as his charge to communicate that message that Allah had for us, and he was the deliverer of that message. We are the deliverer we are the one that's connecting to our children. They don't know the prophet yet, you know, especially if they're really young. And so it's our job. So it's a very serious responsibility. So being clear, learning as much as we possibly can, studying the life of the prophet, learning the Quran, understanding the Quran, so we can be as explicit and clear and effective as possible as we're working with our children. So it's a serious job, and that's why we should take it.
Alhamdulillah. I want to say takbir, Allahu Akbar. That's excellent, excellent, Dr. Patricia Saldin. Some very, very sharp points that in relating to the prophet in terms of being Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, he was charged with the responsibility of taking revelation as Allah was revealed through the angel Jibril to him, and making it very, very clear, making the message very, very clear. So no one could actually say, I didn't understand that, I didn't get that. So in our communication with our children, and we want to instill that in them. You know, our children learn what they live. I like to use the acronym, the word KISS, K-I-S-S. I know some of you heard that, keep it simple, stupid. No, we don't want to use stupid in there. We want to say keep it simply simple. Keep it simply simple. A little gold nugget, if you can use it, you'll find that this will work. When you can keep it simply simple in communicating with our children in terms of giving them basic and fundamental, just like Allah says in the Quran, with some of his ayats, some of the ayats, or some of the verses, or better still, the tafsir Imam W.D. Muhammad in terms of ayats, they are actually instructing signs or messages to us. Very, very important. So when we are, as parents, when we communicate with our children, we want to send them a very simplistic, a very explicit, clear message. And this is for various ages. As Dr. Patricia Saldin just stated, very, very important. You become the model for them, because at the age of 0 to 7, as they begin to grow and everything, meaning that you have to become a conscious, regardful parent in learning the deen, the religion itself. And you'll find, you know, Dr. Saldin, you can correct me if I'm incorrect, that children basically in those imprinting stages, they're very impressionable through picture language. Whether natural creation, there's a lot of picture language that our children will come up on. and pointing these things out to our children, but always connecting what it is that they see in the natural creation, as Dr. Salahuddin so eloquently articulated, is that we want to relate that back to the Creator. This is Allah's creation. So we want to give the thanks and the praise to God for this and for that. He created this and created that. And if we have a little bit more knowledge, and our children say, well, why? They may ask, why? So you need to be able to give them an answer. Anytime children ask a question, we should be ready to give them an answer as simplistic as we possibly can based on the age that they are. We should not even lie to our children. Now, one of the most difficult questions that children will ask, Dr. Salahuddin, you probably know that question or what, and maybe many, many mothers have been confronted. Where does babies come from? And so now we begin to start to fabricating things to them, figure, you won't understand. You know, but in good communication, one of the main objectives is to give, take, as Imam Muhammad say, that understanding is the home of the mind. We want to give good, clear, very simplistic communication so that they will understand on that level. Maybe other more details as they grow older, the capacity to be able to understand. That is a desire in all children because Allah has put natural curiosity in our children to want to know, you see. So it's incumbent upon us to become good communicators and keep it simply simple, you know. And if, in fact, you said, do you understand, always follow up. When you're communicating with your children as parents, always ask the question after you have given them the best that you can give them. Do you understand that? Just ask them, do you understand that? And they, you might know how well a teacher that you actually are, but I say, no, I don't understand that. Then I mean that sometimes as a parent, you got to do your own work and then get a little bit better in terms of communication. You know, Dr. Salahuddin, I once had a teacher that said, you know, at that time it was not uncommon to have anywhere from 30 to 35 children in a classroom. And I never forget, I had a teacher by the name of Mr. Hudson. And he said, if I gave a test to my children and two-thirds of the class failed the test, he said, then I feel like I fail as a teacher in teaching the subject. I'll stop there. I want to say to our radio listening audience that if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Salahuddin and Mark Shaheed. And tonight it is on effective, clear, effective communications. And we're using some hadiths in regards to the Prophet. Last week we used the Quran in terms of the communications by Almighty God Allah, as he is the master communicator. We stated that last week. And now his Rasulullah in terms of hadiths in the methodology, the techniques that he used, these are techniques that will help us as parents in terms of communicating with our children. And in the process of doing that, we actually are teaching our children to become more effective communicators. So if you have any questions to comment, we do ask that you press 1 and come into the queue, and Dr. Salahuddin will notify me. You got your hand up, and for those of you who listen by way of the Internet, you do have to call into the studio. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673, and you should have your pens and your paper out, and you should be taking some good notes, and we want to get your participation in this learning lab as it is your learning lab. Dr. Salahuddin, I think the next one that you have is interesting because it was reported that the Prophet Muhammad would say things three times to emphasize that. What does that bring to your mind, Dr. Slaudeen, when you hear that the prophet says things three times? How do you relate that in terms of a parent maybe say, it seemed like putting a lot of emphasis on really, really important things? Dr. Slaudeen.
Yes. Yes, Mark, I think that that one is good because sometimes we know that things that are important that we see in the Quran is repeated. There are lots of things repeated. You know, maybe not repeated in the same surah. Stated in one surah and repeated again in another surah and repeated again in another surah. So the human mind needs that repetition. And you know, although we're talking, I know we think about it. I know myself. I think about, well, you have to tell me something more than once because I'll forget. You know, that was my line to myself. But we're talking about children. You know, we always say, well, their minds are clear and they're not cluttered like our minds are. And so we may not feel that they need to have things repeated to them, but they do.
Yes.
Their minds are young and they need to have it repeated to them. So sometimes you would say, well, I told you once, you know, why didn't you do that? Or you may need to say it again. And they may have forgotten it, or they may have gotten, their young minds are wandering and it goes all over the place.
Yes.
And so they may get distracted. So it is a very simple thing to do, to repeat it more than once. To share with them, to explain something to them, and you may have to explain it more than one time. And that's
yes.
a part of the learning process, and that's the way the brain process, and it may stay the third time or the fifth time. But we have to be patient with our children and
yes.
Give them the directions. And when you're giving directions, make sure they're clear, and if you have to do it more than one time, and don't give them so much direction at one time. I was watching
yes.
a film of this mommy who was talking to a counselor, and she says, well, my child does not have to follow directions. He just doesn't he doesn't follow directions. And they showed how she actually gave directions. She's talking to a three-year-old, and she's telling him five things to do at one time. You know, fold these clothes right here, and then put them in a drawer over on the left side, and then come back and get this. You know, you don't do that to a three-year-old. So you have to think about the age of the child, and then you also have to, you know, make it simple, as you stated earlier. Make it simple. Don't give them too much directions at one time. So, and then repeat it. Be okay about repeating it because uh-huh. they need to hear it more than once.
Yes, alhamdulillah. No, very well said. And I think you make a very, very valid point because in today's society, there is so much distraction today where our children's attention can be diverted to this or that. And, you know, in terms of not listening, you know, Dr. Slaudeen, I thought about that, you know, that hadith, and I'm looking at it from another angle here. You know, as we give a very simplistic definition to what parenting is and what we are trying to nurture and to cultivate in our children, I think that, first of all, you know, we're trying to reach their intellect, but not only just their intellect in terms of the communication, what we are communicating and emphasizing that, but we also want to communicate or touch their emotions. And for them to become emotionally mature or emotionally intelligent, oftentimes the communication have to, and we'll deal with morality, and we're going to be coming up on a hadith in a little bit to illustrate the point that I'm making here in terms of that, when the prophet was approached by a man asking a question that involved morality or immorality, as the case is, then we also want to be touching the spirit of the child. Yes, the spirit of the child. This is very important. These three things, the intellect, the emotions, and the spirit. So these are three things. And if we notice, just to make connections, as a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, you know, when we're making wudu to get ourselves prepared to make salat, we're washing certain parts of the body three times in that regard, which is very, very significant. But also socially, we want to appeal to our children in communication. They have to be touched in a way that not only intellectually, but also emotionally, and also spiritually. And morality has to be paired with our emotions, because that's a duality. And when we talk about words of inanality, it is a play on the word reality. The reality of the emotions that Allah wants us to have, you understand, whereas that's energy in motion. But it has to be paired with a rationality. But it also has to have the company of morality in it. This helps us to be our children to become emotionally mature in all. And we also want our children, you understand, to have the right spirit, because in communication, we are communicating with words. And as Imam Muhammad has said to us, words are a container of ideas, but all words carry a spirit with them. Very, very important. So we want to keep it simple, and especially when we are communicating with our very young, especially in those impressionable years from 0 to 7, we want to keep it simple. But we want to begin to nurture and cultivate the intellect, but also the right temperament in our children, the emotions. We want the emotions to become more mature, as we see a lot of crying that goes on in those early years, because the emotions have not matured. Real small children oftentimes are emotionally immature, you see, and they don't have the right spirit. So it becomes a very daunting task oftentimes, you know, that even when we repeat things, maybe say three times to them to put emphasis on it, that we could say that we are trying to appeal to those three vital components in our children that actually will hopefully be instilled in them and become a part of them, especially when you're giving them things that could be life-saving for them in terms of communicating to them in a way that they actually can and will understand. As the Imam has said, understanding is the home of the mind. We want to always try to get home with our children in them understanding why we are saying what we are saying to them. I'll stop there.
Yes, and there's a very good place to stop, because we have a hand.
Okay.
We have 773-449. State your name and where you're from. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amir Muhammad from Chicago. Excuse me, I have a little cold, a little hoarse.
Thank you for calling me in.
I am so thoroughly enjoying this. And from two factors. One is when you talk about, for the most part, when we have to constantly repeat things to our children, sometimes we don't know where they are. They may have attention deficits. They may have learning disabilities. And we should be able to zero in on what's really going on with them, that we may have to constantly repeat, you know, things to them and make sure that they are able to comprehend and not recommend them. And as well, if we flip that coin on the other side, some of us as parents and adults, we may have experienced those same kind of challenges when we were young and our parents never identified them. And so how could we a lot of times address those needs in our children when sometimes we have deficiencies ourselves? So what I see here when you talk about things from a repetitious standpoint, it's a good method to use, because that way you try to ensure that whatever the message is that you're delivering to him, it becomes comprehensible. And I think a lot of times in a way that we express things to our children from a compassionate way, not always in a way that we are recommending them because they didn't get it maybe the first time or the second time, but they might get it the third time, you know, and you might see each time a different approach to use with them so that they can get it in, you know, in a compassionate way. So I'm just getting so much out of this myself. Not just, I've had children, and I wish I had this knowledge when I was raising my children, but at the same time, as an adult, I'm still getting something myself. So I just appreciate what I'm hearing here. So thank you so much.
Alaykum as-salam, and thank you so much, Amira Muhammad, for calling in. Dr. Salahuddin, I think Amira Muhammad made some very, very valid points that oftentimes that we may overlook in terms of attention deficit, and all, and we've seen quite a bit of that, I would think, in latter years, that could be an issue and a problem, you know, that oftentimes in the past that maybe children, you know, not to say that they were trying to diagnose or analyze their child or what, but I think those are some valid points. Dr. Salahuddin, your comments, if you would, please.
Oh, definitely. Sister Mira had hit it right on the head. There are some times when children are suffering from disorders and we don't know about them. And that's where that patience come in, being patient with our children and also being attentive and alert, pay attention, and becoming knowledgeable, start asking questions. And things will happen to our children if we're not on it, then some damage can be done. One of the children in my family had an issue, and my grandchildren had an issue, and my daughter started asking questions. Okay, why is this happening? I think I need to take you to the doctor. And she did, and when she took her to the doctor, she found out there was a problem. So we have to pay attention to our children, and we have to be patient and we have to be knowledgeable, you know. You start asking questions and I'll start doing some research and be knowledgeable so we can be the parent that we need to be for the best results for our children. So I think, Sister Mira, that's beautiful, her comments. We're really right on target.
Yeah. I agree with you. And just as a little side note, you know, for those whereas that, I mean, even if we don't know, it's better to take our child or our children to the doctor and have them examined to see if everything is in order. And I think for those that are classified, there's nothing wrong, that they are normal. So we say, alhamdulillah. But I think also the follow-up in terms of the questions that we ask to our children in our, you know, simplistic but effective, clear communication is not only do you understand, but then even following up with even more, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, and then, you know, it's like in good communication, which we'll be taking that topic on in an introduction in a mini-series on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. One of the things that very, very important is that in that type of relationship where two adults are talking to each other, to make sure that the communication is clear and very effective, it's also recommended that you repeat back to the person what it is that you understood so that they know that you actually were listening. You were listening. Yeah. This is an effective method even for children. You say, do you understand? Okay, so the child might nod their head. Of course, we didn't raise our children up to nod their head to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, or what in that regard. So to follow up with that, okay, then tell me, what is it you understand? What is it that mommy is telling you? What is it daddy is telling you? You know, and to hear it from them, coming from them, so that it becomes a validation they really did understand. They may just say, hey, understand. I mean, you ask them to understand, say, yeah, I understand. But when you ask them, what is it that you understood? Tell me what it is that I'm saying to you, to get it from them. Now you'll be able to see if they truly have understood this or not understood. And then when you ask that follow-up question, questions are very, very, very effective tools that you need to keep in your toolbox when you are raising children. I use it with my children all the time in terms of asking questions. If I had some doubt that whether you understood or not, I'm just going to ask the question, okay, so tell me. So what is it that you understood that I said to you? And why did I say that to you? Do you understand why you shouldn't do that? Can you tell me why? You see, so... Right. And when you do that, now they're communicating to you what it is, how they have processed the information that you have given to them. That's effective communication. It has to be followed up questions in that regard. Dr. Slaudin?
Right. So true. That is so true. We have to ask questions. In fact, sometimes they're asking questions is a very effective technique when you're trying to discipline your children or trying to teach them character traits that they may be weak in. You know, sometimes they do something punishing. This punishing may not be the best way for a child to bring attention to the child's behavior, not to anyone else, but to him or her. To bring attention to them, that behavior, how many people are affected by your behavior, and what are you thinking about this behavior that you just exhibited? So it is important that we ask questions, and the questioning technique is very good. And we noticed that one of the things that the Prophet did, peace and blessings be upon him. One of his ways of communicating was to ask questions. So the questions set the stage. It also gets attention, and it brings about understanding when you start with a question. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And I think we have time to do one more hadith, and of course we can see that this will be continued, and this is a very important topic. You know, I think Dr. Slaudin, in terms of very clear and effective communication, because at the same time that we are doing it with our children and communicating with them in a very clear way, and also a very effective way, we are also teaching them in terms of what good communication actually is, and even the choice of words that we may use, you know, in terms of communication. I think that's very important, too. We don't. We have to be always cognizant of their age, the stage where they are. We want to select. We want to select the best words that we know that they understand. You know, it doesn't really help or benefit a child if you're using words that they really don't understand, they haven't grown to that point, even in academically, whereas that they have had those words as spelling words, they, you had to learn how to pronounce the word, to spell it correctly, and be able to define the word. So if you're using words like that, you may very well be talking over your children's head. And so my mother always was a stickler, never allowed people to talk over your head. You know, she always made sure that we had a dictionary to look it up. But as effective parenting, you want to use words at the age and stage that your child is for very clear, effective communication. So with that being said, we can introduce this last one and maybe make a little commentary on that. And you still have a few minutes, dear believers. If you have a question or comment, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Press 1. Come into the queue if any of this information is resonating with you, Dr. Salahuddin, and I would love to hear from you before we get exactly to the top of the hour. Dr. Salahuddin?
Okay, Mark. This one is involving the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, again. And it's by giving examples. The prophet gave examples as one way of communicating. It was reported that the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said that the believers in their mutual kindness, compassion, and sympathy are like a body. If one of the organs is afflicted, the whole body responds to it with wakefulness and fever. He also said, you and I are like the man who lit a fire that moths and other insects start running toward and falling into, and who was trying to stop them, and who was trying to stop them. I am like this man trying to hold you by your waist to save you from hell, but you are escaping my hands. He also said, the four prayers are like a river that passes by the gate of your home, in which you take a bath 5 times daily. And that's the example, hadith of examples of how the prophet communicated. He gave examples. And that's that one.
Yeah, you know, we won't be able to get all the way into that. But just, you know, ask you and those different things that was noted. Anything out of those, I guess, three that really stands out to you that maybe you can give in about a minute and a half or 2 minutes that really stand out to you in that particular hadith and all, and the point that the prophet is actually making and conveying a message. Anything stands out?
You know, what stood out for me was the one about the you and I are like the man who lit a fire that moths and other insects are running toward. I see the social media that we have today as that fire that everybody is running toward, the Twitters, the Instagram, the Facebook, the ads, whatever else there is out there. And every day they're trying to come up with something new to get people to run to. And it's not all bad, but sometimes the it's like a fire, and that it's drawing people to it, those things, and they're not using them in the best manner, and it's leading them into areas that are not productive for them. I would just say it that way. The areas are not productive for them. And basically, and our children, and those children who are attached to those devices and are able to, they aren't able to appreciate nature, appreciate the world around them, because they're constantly looking at a screen and watching something and being entertained by something. You know, they can't have a dinner with their families. The families can't have dinner because they're all of the members of the family at the dinner table are looking at a device. And so that, to me, that's an example of that analogy of that fire.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent. You know, and once again, you know, Imam W.D. Muhammad, you know, in his tafsir, clear explanation, you know, fire is one of the four major elements that we're looking at so far, you know, in different contexts in the Quran can be looked upon as passion. You know, during the month of Ramadan, we know the first 10 days is that of mercy, and then the next 10 days is that of forgiveness. Most people forget the third 10 days. It becomes the emancipation, the freedom, the liberation, the deliverance from the fire of our own passion, the fire of our own passion. So this is very, very important. I think you gave an excellent example in that, in terms of the different gadgets now that really many of our young people have a passion for, so much so that even having the family dinner, you understand, is not of importance because we are fiddling and faddling around with different things and devices we have. So, you know, I would say the advice to the parents is that family time and dinner time is family time. You know, no gadgets allowed to the table. You know, that becomes a time for communication, and we'll talk about that, you know, next week in terms of the best times in terms of actually communicating with our children in various ages. I want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Special thanks goes to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudin, as each and every Wednesday, except for the first Wednesday of the month, with you sharing your insight and wisdom. And you gave a whole lot of insight and wisdom this Wednesday. So hopefully our radio listening audience took good notes here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So as we get ready to make that transition, I want to extend the greetings of peace to you, Dr. Slaudin. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. There you have it, the first hour here on IWDM Radio, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudin, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And we want to say before we transition to the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, I'd like to let you know the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio as tomorrow, the return of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, which is a sister learning lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, with Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And believe it or not, we will be starting a new series, a mini-series, on relationship communication. And we didn't plan it like this. It happened like this. So we said, mashallah, it was Allah's will that these two learning labs will be talking about communication simultaneously, one from a parenting child communication, the other one from husband-wife communication on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. So as we begin the MGM Roundtable, I always like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable, and like to extend the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, that obligates the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace, to our national and international audience tonight, of Assalamu Alaikum. And those who listen in know I like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests here on the MGM Roundtable inside of our community. That's the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of our community, and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And I thought it would be befitting tonight to have a recap, an overview of this past weekend in the nation's capital as the 2022 Time to Be Grateful was held in Washington, D.C., with having some of the principals that participated in this very historic, if you will, Time to Be Grateful. So with no further ado, I'd like to extend the greetings, and hopefully we have Sister Amani Abdullah, who is the chairperson for the host city there, Washington, D.C., with us. Please press 1. And my engineer will open your mic. Also, the national chairperson for the Time to Be Grateful, our beloved sister Joan Najla, and also our beloved president of the Muslim Journal Board, and also a member of the executive board of directors, that would be Imam Abdul Kareem Muhammad. Please press 1. And I want to extend the greetings of peace to all of you and welcome you to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. I hear two voices. Do I hear three? I hear your voice. Do a little check here. Joan Najla, you with us?
Yes, I am. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Who? Imam Abdul Kareem Muhammad, you with us?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam and welcome. And also Imani Abdullah, are you with us? Oh, I haven't heard her, so maybe she'll be joining us in a little bit. And so please, my engineer, you should be looking out for the number 202-446, that is Washington, D.C. number. So alhamdulillah, I want to welcome both of you all here and accepting my invitation. I thought it would be befitting to have a recap of so many things that highlights for this year's 2022 Time to Be Grateful. For those, especially those who, for whatever reason, was not able to attend. I always try to be conscious of our community. We want to keep them informed as to the progress that we're making as a community. And most certainly, I see the Muslim Journal is a vital part, as it has been the lifeblood. I said the lifeblood of our community. It has kept us informed in information down through the years, going back to the Muhammad Speaks and the Bilalian News, the world community of Islam, the various changes, I would say in an evolutionary process to what we have today is the Muslim Journal. It has also provided education for this community, keeping us educated, keeping us informed not only what's happening in this country, but what's happening all around the world. And Professor Aisha K. Mustafa and her staff have done an outstanding job in also doing that. And now we see that the Muslim Journal is also evolving every year there's one major fundraiser, and it's called A Time to Be Grateful. And so there's a whole lot of historic things that's happening this year and having it in Washington, D.C. and all. And so I'm going to start, with you, Joan, in terms of being the national chairperson for a few years now and working with Aisha and the staff, these various cities that that actually actually be looking at taking on this big responsibility. Believe it or not, there are many cities that are actually in the past have been bidding on one to host the Time to Be Grateful. What was so special about this year, Joan Najala, the Time to Be Grateful? And I'd like to say that this has been the best one I've gone to. It seems like that each and every year it gets better and better and better. Welcome, Joan Najala. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Brother Mark Shahir, for having me back on to talk about the recap of A Time to Be Grateful this past December 9th, 10th, and 11th. My opinion, there was so many special attraction and added value events that we really was looking forward to everyone getting so much out of it. And maybe there were some things where things were so jam-packed that we didn't anticipate that it was going to be more than what we needed. But because we hadn't been together so long, everyone was excited and everyone was we was making sure that we, I think DC was making sure that they were going to have a robust event, and each event gave you more than enough entertainment and information. So that was really special, and it was special for us after 2 years to be in person again, and that excitement made a difference.
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and, you know, for me, you know, all of our conventions and conferences, as you well know, and Imam Abdul Karim know, it begins with Salatu Juma, and here I am sitting on the front row, you know, one of the seniors and pioneers in the community, and I get there pretty early, but I'm watching the crowd grow and grow and grow and grow, you know. And the brother, having the brothers to move up, you know, that's always a good sign, you know, in your musala, when you have where you have to have the brothers to move up, get in closer, you know, and everything, because this was a large area that we used as a musala, you know, there at the hotel where it was being hosted. But this was an indication that this was going to be a well-attended. And, you know, Joan, you're absolutely right on point. You know, 2.5 years, I would say 2.5 years of absence and not being around each other and not being able to see each other, to hug each other, to kiss each other, the camaraderie. The spirit was so very, very high. It would have been just worth it just to go and see your brothers and sisters. That's how much we actually... You could see that we really missed each other. But it was a time to really be grateful and to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. I want to get your opening comments, too, my dear brother Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad. I was at the press conference that was in hell, and it was a very, very impressive press conference in which you were a part of. Big secret always. Where is the Time to Be Grateful going to be held next year? And to my surprise, that was given at the press conference. And traditionally, it usually is given at the banquet. And Professor Aisha Mustafa usually does that, but it was released at the press conference. Some great things were said about you and your work and the diligence and steadfastness in being an avid supporter of the Muslim Journal as Newark, New Jersey have been for many, many years. And I want to welcome you once again, first time here on IWDM Radio, to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam Abdul Kareem.
Yeah, wa alaikum assalam. And may I just say I concur with everything that you and Sister Joan has stated already. I think that was the spirit of the of time to be grateful, time of unity and the coming together of the Muslim, but also our non-Muslim friends and neighbors and brothers and sisters, Christians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was great opportunity. And we are so grateful and thankful to Allah. And Brother Mark, we want to congratulate you and commend you on your outstanding work that you are also doing in the community for the upliftment of our people and also humanity. You know what I mean? I don't want that to go unnoticed. But I'm just in my opening a statement, a remark, the time to be grateful was a time for us to have like a family reunion to me.
Yes.
Family reunion. Bringing the believers, all of us, together. And because we haven't had opportunity to be in the company and presence of each other for the last couple of years due to COVID-19 pandemic. But thank Allah that we have survived and made it through. And I mean, I say that very sincerely. It's only by the grace and the mercy of Allah that we are here today, because we shouldn't underestimate the devastation that the COVID-19 have had on the whole country, world, and the world. So we shouldn't underestimate that. But the press conference, as you said, Brother Mark and Sister Joan, went very, very well. Opportunity for us to address the media and let the people know, the community know, the thing that Muslim Journal is doing and what the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad is doing. So in my opinion, I thought it was very, very well attended, very, very well supported, and that the spirit on the face of the believers was so high, you know, and that's only by Allah's permission and His grace and His mercy. So we intend to move forward with Muslim Journal, although it's struggling right now financially. It's still struggling financially, but we are happy to report, Brother Mark, and to our audience, that Muslim Journal, because of your generous support, you know, is back on track, you know, alhamdulillah. So that's my opening statement, as a remark.
Alhamdulillah, Imam Abdul Kareem Muhammad. Wonderful opening comments from both of you and also John Najala. I'm going to stay with you here for a few minutes, Brother Imam. With the press conference, we want those listening in, for whatever reason, could not be there. We strongly encourage those that may be on the fence, and we also understand, you know, everybody don't have the same financial situation and all, and they had a you know, back in the old Nation of Islam, you know, when the secretary who doubled as the treasurer at that time, I remember is a young FOI coming in to just coming to visit before actually receiving my ex, they would pass the basket, and the secretary would always come in front and say, "We like to thank those who gave and thank those who had a desire to give but were unable to give." And at that time, I wasn't able to give, but I had the desire to want to give, and the little money that I could get and could make, I wanted to get me a bowl of bean soup and two cream wheat muffins and a slice of bean pie, and you could that for about 80 or 90 cents at that time, 35 cents for a bowl of bean soup and 25 cents for a slice of bean pie, and maybe some Omar on the Nile or something like that. But I'm saying that to say to us that there are people that desire to be there, but they were unable to be there because they couldn't afford to be there. And I feel there's an obligation on my part in having this platform is to communicate that information that they may not have gotten. So staying with this press conference, it was announced that your city will be the host city for the 2023 Time to Be Grateful. When did you know that? And also that the position that you have as president of the Muslim Journal Board and being a part of the executive board of directors and all of that, and the things that the Professor Aisha K. Mustafa gave in terms of why her choice was that. And, you know, Allah was guiding her. We know that and everything. Yes, sure. You've been working at this for quite some time. You're not, as my son said, you're not new to this. You're true to this. Please respond, Imam Abdul Karim.
Oh, yes, sir. Brother Mark, again, thank you so much. Honestly appreciate you so much for the opportunity for us to share with your audience and with the Muslim and, you know, again, our, you know, Christian neighbors, brothers and sisters and friends and everything. And that's what we need, I think, going forward, you know, into the future and everything, is that kind of corroboration with Muslims, but also with non-Muslims. I think that's very, very, very key, as Imam yeah. Muhammad encouraged us. He encouraged us, and I'm really, really selecting my words very carefully here. He encouraged us to get into the mainstream of
yes.
the market, get into the mainstream. And that's what we have to do. Let's get out there into the mainstream, and we want to put the Muslim brand out there into the mainstream because mm-hmm. in the perception of many, they are saying that Muslim, our numbers are declining and our influence is mm-hmm. declining. And we want to change that. We want to really change that. And, you know, we're very serious about that. So I want to just comment more because you made reference to the press conference that we had. And
yes.
that shows you the direction that the Muslim Journal is moving in. And we had an opportunity, very happy to report, just excited to report that we had an opportunity to meet with all the main leaders of our community and the association of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And I'm just trying to be very, very brief, but, you know, just give your audience an overview of how productive this a time to be grateful event. It was a time for us to come together, enjoy ourselves, but it was a time for us to come together to take care of serious business for our community and for our people and everything like that. So we met with the imam, the leadership of our community, and their response, you know, exceeded my expectation, how they responded. So that's a alhamdulillah for that. And then we met with the business our business leaders, you know, as you are, Brother Mark, you know, and their response was very, very positive, was very, very positive. You know, praise be to Allah. And my last point at this time, you know, because I could just go on and on and on, but I just wanted to you to see, you know, which direction you kind of moving the program on. It's the last thing, and you touched on it, Brother Mark, and this should not be understated either. And a lot of credit should be given to Sister Aisha K. Mustafa
yes.
out. A lot of credit should be given to her because she has the insight, the wisdom, and the foresight to create or produce a new Muslim Journal Board of Directors. Director. So she knew that the Muslim Journal had to kind of shift and change its direction and everything, and Allah blessed her, as you said, and we should not underestimate Allah blessed her to create this new board, you know, pray good to Allah with some of the most talented people in our community, in the association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, doctors, lawyers, business people, imams,
mm-hmm.
and leaders, et cetera, et cetera. Brother Mark, very, very talented people, as we all are, as we all are. So that's where we are. And I know you're excited. I'm excited, about the direction that we're moving in and everything, you know. So let us just move forward and everything and not listen to these naysayers and everything who's saying
that
our numbers are diminishing, declining, and our influence is declining. That's prove them wrong. And with your show and with this program, we are proving them wrong. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. You know, when I hear you speak, Imam Kareem Muhammad, I get that spirit like an old FOI. You know, again, give me a couple of bundles. Let me go out there and hit the streets and the Muslim Journal has done a remarkable job in terms of even acknowledging those brothers in the past that was 300 plus, man. And of course, Newark, for those who don't know, were one of the leading cities in selling the Muhammad Speaks and the leader in terms of the Muslim Journal. So, you know, as Imam Abdul Kareem has said, it was an easy choice. The diligence, the vigor, and the energy of this city, and I think it's really appropriate that they get the opportunity to host the 2023 Time to Be Great. Now, I'm going to say to our radio listening audience, don't wait till the last minute, you understand, to decide. You know your financial situation. Begin to start the saving for that so you don't have to get anything secondhand. You want to be there. You really missed a lot. I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I have as my very distinguished, esteemed guest, Joan Najla, who is the national chairperson for the Time to Be Grateful, and also Imam Abdul Kareem Muhammad has joined us, and he is the president of the Muslim Journal Board, and they will be the host city next year in Newark, New Jersey. And they have given us some insight on this most recent 2022 Time to Be Grateful held in the nation capital, Washington, D.C. Joan, and we want to say to our radio listener, if you have questions or comments, this is your time, as I have invited those that to listen in. If you were there from the 9th to the 11th, and you are listening in, I'd like to see you raise your hand. You can do that by pressing 1, and you can share your experience there, what stood out for you, what was outstanding to you. And there were so many things that were outstanding. Was it some of the workshops that you attended? Was it the tour that was offered there, the many historic monuments and all?
Sister Imani Abdullah, the chair of DC, I think she joined the call.
Oh, she has joined the call. Okay, so I want to recognize. Yes, press 1. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Imani Abdullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome, you know, to the MGM Roundtable. And I was on pins and needles. Now I'm relaxed that you are present with us. And I want to say to our radio listening audience that Imani Abdullah, she had the daunting task in terms of being the chairperson for this year's Time to Be Grateful held in the nation's capital there. And it was such a wonderful, wonderful event. As I've been talking about it, Joan Najla and also Imam Abdul Kareem Muhammad, in terms of the spirit, the camaraderie that was experienced there and all. I want to just get some opening comments from you in terms of your thoughts or reflections on this year, 2023. I know, you know, I want to relate it to, it's almost like being pregnant and carrying the child for so many months and everything. But finally, when the delivery is a form of relaxation and the beautiful thing that comes as a result of being impregnated and having new life. And I think that I'm feeling is new life in this community related to the things that we can see that will help to progress this community and, in particular, the life source of this community, which is the Muslim Journal. Your comments, please, Sister Amani Abdullah. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. And I want to thank everyone who attended this year's A Time to Be Grateful in Washington, D.C. We were very appreciative of all of the support and love and camaraderie that we experienced. We want to thank the IWD media blog platform for allowing us to come on and help promote and encourage and sell the concepts that were important to us for this particular Time to Be Grateful event. I also would like to thank all of the volunteers. There were people from all across the country that pitched in and helped to volunteer as they came in, and their help and support made things much easier for those of us who had been planning and preparing for the attendees to come to the event. There were quite a few highlights that we can talk about. I mean, we had a packed schedule from Friday to Sunday, and there were times that you almost couldn't catch your breath trying to keep up with what was going on next. However, the game changer this year was this platform that you could access on your phone or on your computer, and that allowed for open and continuous and updated information to flow to the attendees on a constant basis. We ended up having more than 7,000 hits on that platform, and that alone was a very successful implementation of something new. Those who said they did not receive the brochure for the banquet, the brochure is out on the platform, so you can access the brochure through that platform. We intend to keep that platform open for the next 90 days, and that would afford anyone who did not get a chance to see something or read something or view different activities a chance to do so. We intend to put up all of the videos, all of the photos, and all of the documentations that transpired so that everyone that came to this Time to Be Grateful and those who did not attend can actually go on and see what happened in Washington, D.C.
And there was a lot that happened in Washington, D.C. this year. You know, I'm coming back to you, Imani Abdullah, and thank you for that. That's very valuable information. This is why I wanted to utilize this platform for tonight's MGM Roundtable so that, you know, some things that may need to be cleared up in terms of how the social media was used and is being used. And then 90 days, you understand, where you can go and you can get this information, the brochure, outstanding brochure, and all, you'll be able to assess that and all of the things, you understand, the highlights and all, too, so you can utilize that. We're going to come back to you and maybe say, give you opportunity to share something or maybe a few things that stood out for you. Going back to, before we do, we want to say to our radio listening audience, now this is your opportunity to ask questions. You all know me. I don't run out of questions. I might run out of time, but I don't run out of questions and all. But this is your opportunity to ask questions to our very distinguished, esteemed guests in regards to this year, this year, 2022, time to be grateful. And, of course, we have Imam Kareem Muhammad with us, and his city, Newark, New Jersey, will be hosting 2023. So you might have some questions in regards to that. It's still early yet. They haven't perhaps gotten into the planning stage. You may have questions in regards to the Muslim Journal. And I'll get back with Imam Muhammad in just a moment in terms of this becoming the new home of the Muslim Journal. That was breaking news, as they say in media, breaking news, breaking news. And you heard it at the press conference. Joan, want to just ask you anything that really stood out to you that you could or would share with our radio listening audience this year? As I say, you know, it becomes to me more and more impressive. Even, you know, last year, you know, when I had you and Professor Aisha K. Mustafa on, and, you know, it was talked about how should we count last year that was in Atlanta. It was virtual. I was a part of that in terms of giving, I think, my second virtual presentation. Those of you know, I'm not really what you might say savvy, social media savvy or what, but at Al Mubinun, which I'm a member of here in the STL, St. Louis, Missouri, they hooked that up for me, and I was able to make a presentation on the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, and it came out pretty good. I was, really, really thrilled with that. And they said they did fairly well, you know, in doing that, and that was historic. I think it should be counted, maybe an asterisk mark, but it should be counted because it actually counts. There were actually real people. The only thing was is that we just didn't have a physical presence there. But everything else other than just the meals that were served, which were very, very delicious, good food, well thought out, I have to give a lot of credit to the chairperson, Sister Amani Abdullah, and her staff, you know, and all. There's a lot that goes in behind the scenes. So, Joan, you know, what stands out for you as the national chairperson? I mean, as you go from, you know, city to city, and I know it's a lot of thought that's put into the decision-making. They couldn't have made a better decision than Washington, D.C., given the fact that this was the 85th anniversary of the nation's mosque that was first built under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a very, very important Masjid Muhammad, now called the nation's mosque. You don't have to comment on that if you choose not to, but I would like to know from you what's really stood out for you in this historic, I call it historic, time to be grateful. Joan?
Yes. I would love to answer that question. So many things did, but in particular, the business breakfast, that was really a opportunity that for us as a community to go back and tell everyone that there's a network of people that can get together and do a minority business certification of A-plus certification. They had a panel discussion, and the brothers I think Sharif Malik, he was the moderator, and he quizzed and gave you information about A-plus certification, which is a federal certification that allow you to get contracts and compete in the bidding process of doing business where you are allowed to make money with the government on a federal and local level. That information was so powerful that we as the community, when we talk about economics, That was one of the a great economical opportunity that they're willing to network and get with any minority business and show them how to go through this A-plus certification. So that was very powerful.
Yes.
And you could walk away with that information and that contact. And also at the business breakfast, the keynote speaker, Yusuf Harish, he is talking about, again, collaborating with Afro-American Muslims, the indigenous, you know, Americans, that we can build the largest blockchain of health, of digital health, and that we can be in charge of our health. And these two opportunities were showcased this year. So you walked away with entertainment, but you walked away with how to do business and how business can be enlightened in your own personal business as well as networking with others. So I thought the business breakfast, among others, was very insightful.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly. We missed maybe the last 45 minutes because we had to be at the airport, but from what it was that I heard, it was very, very, very encouraging. Even in having a presence there in Africa with the Muslim Journal, I think is very, very noteworthy. And our beloved sister, to my knowledge, is headed there or perhaps already there. You see the expansion of the Muslim Journal, but the business and the business opportunities and getting that information and all shows that there is a natural progression. You know, this is what our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Wasiruddin Muhammad, you know, had a vision and seen. This is what his father actually saw, you know, when the Muhammad speaks in terms of seeing the African-American reaching across the globe and embracing, shaking hands, embracing the African brother and all. This is so very, very important because many of us are living to see this come to fruition. And this is important that this is all a part of history. You know, oftentimes we talk about our history, and I'm going to go to you, Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad. We often, in terms of talking about our history in it, and rightfully so in terms of our story, but I always say to people, you understand, what it is that we are doing or not doing, we are making history, you understand, after the transitioning of our leader. Imam Muhammad asked us to give him a good life. And so I can say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wants us to give him a good life. And what it is that we do, what are we extrapolating from that, and what are we actually doing? We've done a lot of work, but there's still a lot of work to be done. I want to go back to you, Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, and I'd like for you to share with the radio listening audience what stood out for you in this year, 2022, time to be grateful in Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much again, Brother Mark. And I just want to highlight a few things, you know, in my comments at that point, because I think that you and hopefully all the people who are listening to your radio audience know that our focus, and especially my focus, is on the survivor of Muslim Journal. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's what at this time. And I hope that all of you share that concern. So the reality is that Muslim Journal is still, and I want us to not lose sight of that, is still in a serious survival mode right now. You know,
we
are still struggling, you know what I mean, as I indicated. And I want to be very clear, but I'm very serious that Muslim Journal is back on track. But however, brother, sister, Muslim Journal is still in a serious survivor mode. And
yes,
we must continue to show growth. We can't become complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't become, you know, lethargic, you know, laid back, you know, man, we know we are there now. But no, that's not the case. That's not the case. Now, I'm saying to all of us that we must continue to show
mm-hmm.
growth, to stay alive, and to have a future. If we're going to have a future, we must continue to work hard to promote Muslim Journal if we want to have a future. And what we have been really, Brother Mark, and to the honorable listening audience, is that we've been trying to show people that Muslim Journal is not a charity.
That's not right. A charity.
But Muslim Journal is a business. And we have to start it, treating it like a business and be serious about that, Muslim Journal as a business. And until we come to that level of growth and understanding and development, you know, we're going to still have this problem. I have come to the conclusion and discover, unless we change our thinking, we're going to be confronted with the same situation. And there's a couple more things, Brother Mark, if I may.
No, go ahead. Help yourself.
That is, please, brother, sister, let's understand that if Muslim Journey is a business, then as in any business, and the many of you who are probably listening, you are in business, and I think you all would agree with this. I hope that all of you would agree with me. You know, none of you would disagree with me, but maybe some of you would. But in a business, is like a living organism. And if it's going to continue to survive, it needs to be supported and it needs subsidies. Because we can't survive. Muslim Journal is not going to survive as a business and a living organism unless we all support it. So we cannot stop now. And I like how Imam Muhammad said it. He said, not only can we cannot be stopped now, he said, we cannot be stopped. He made that statement, we could not be stopped. So I just want to just say to, you know, please, let us keep our focus on support for a Muslim Journal, and let us do all that we can to make this paper survive and to sustain and maintain this paper, because it has a rich history. And we are succeeding. Muslim Journal, then listen to this here, and these are closing statement here. Muslim Journal, whether we are conscious of it or not, or realize it now, Muslim Journal is succeeded the former Muhammad, the Bilalia News, right? We were named the Bilalia News at one point, and after the first name, Muhammad Smith. So that's what I'm trying to convey. I'm trying to convey that picture to you, to me, to all of us, a picture worth a thousand words. It's not no ordinary paper. Did paper, Muslim Journal, proceed, Muhammad Speaks, and Bilalia News, and now it is the Muslim Journal. How rich a history could it be? And that's what I wanted to share that with her, so that we would have, I think, more spirit to give support to Muslim Journal. You know, thank you.
Alhamdulillah, no, thank you. You know, I want to say here on IWDM Radio, I don't conclude a broadcast without reminding the people about Muslim Journal and keeping their subscription. I say it's a prescription, but it's a subscription for us and those who have the wherewithal. Think about your brother, your sister, a member of your family, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, maybe a pioneer, or maybe your local library where many people can read the Muslim Journal. There's all these avenues, you understand, where we can get Muslim Journal in. We want to have the ingenuity, the creativity in terms of putting that paper where people can actually read it. They can understand, you understand, more about us as a people and our community, what it is that we stand for. Imam Muhammad said, we are to get with the right-minded people. And what is in that paper will help to attract right-minded people. And so we have an obligation. It becomes a responsibility on us to make sure that the Muslim Journal is just not only surviving, but it's thriving because of what it contains. And we have to believe in that. And so I want to say to our radio listeners, if you have any questions or comments as we get closer to the top of the hour, this is your time. Press 1. Come into the queue. I know that maybe some of you out there, you probably know some of our distinguished panelists. They probably like to hear you give the greetings to them. If things is being said by them, if it's resonating with you, we'd like to hear from you. Those who are listening by way of the Internet, we know we got a lot of people that are listening by way of the Internet. You do have to call in to the studio to be able to ask a question or make a comment to our distinguished panel. And that number, once again, is 714-816-4673. And we're going to make sure that we get that information that you want to renew your subscription. All right, if you want to make a donation, like I want to make a donation toward the Muslim Journal, that we can give something. It doesn't matter what is bigger or small, the Muslim Journal would accept it all. And you get blessings. You get barakats. How many of you have enough barakats out there? I don't think any of us do. We can always use some additional blessings. So we are obligated to support all that's good. Allah says it in the Quran. This is not Mark Shaheed saying it. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, is saying to us. We're obligated to enjoin in all that's good. We're obligated to support the good. The Muslim Journal is good, not only for us, not only for our own people, but it is good for all of humanity. So I want to check in with our engineer before I go back to our panelists. Do we have any hands in the air that want to ask a question or make a comment?
We do. Actually, we got two, and we'll go with one of those of mine. But we'll go here to 773-449. State your name. Welcome this evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Sister Mir Muhammad, from Chicago. I am just so elated about this conversation. I'm so elated by the comments by Brother Mark, Sister Joan, Sister Myri, Imani, and Brother Kareem. I can say a job well done. I am so appreciative to Allah for blessing me to be in that environment. I don't know if words could even describe what it looked like to me, especially at the banquet. Oh, it was so many people. I just looked out there and said, Imam Muhammad, like Brother Mark says, has given him a good future. That's what I saw. Mm-hmm. I saw unfolding. And since I've been home, I've been telling so many people, and I said, prepare yourself for next year. You have to be there. And Brother Kareem, I watched you in action when you was working up here in Chicago, and when I did have opportunity to attend a press conference as a guest of Brother Mark, and when Sister Aisha said that it was going to Newark, I knew that it was going to be in good hands. You know, and I'm so thankful to you for accepting that responsibility, and that we as a community must roll up our sleeves and go to work and help you, because I can hear your commitment. I just want to say thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless all of you all for your good works and your efforts. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you. Thank you so much, Amira Muhammad. She was a vendor there, so alhamdulillah, we really appreciate that. I know that our panelists do. There was another hand that you raised, and I'm going to give them an opportunity to respond to Sister Amira's comments. Teresa, Hadi, any other hands?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum to everyone. I tell you, I'm just as the Sister Amira was saying, I'm just so elated, and I'm just like jumping in my seat. I'm like, wow, it was a really fantastic time, you know. And it makes you feel like I was there for you all in your relaying of what taking place, but also was saying, oh, I got to be there. I got to, like Brother Mark said, start preparing now. Don't wait, because I'm looking forward to it. Inshallah, bless, inshallah. But I wanted to, and I appreciate you all. That was Imam Kareem Muhammad and Sister Jones. I can get your last name too, right in there too much. And Sister Imani Abdul, and I think I know that sister there. But in any case, it was phenomenal. It's just listening this evening. And you all have done a fantastic job, and I know we got more work, like Imam was saying, you know, how we want to move forward. It seems that is insight and being able to see where we can move forward and build this community like Imam Warthi Muhammad has left us to do here in that center page in the Muslim Journal there. And those buildings are there. He didn't just put them there for us to look at them and admire them. We had to actually build those buildings and bring those businesses in those buildings. So alhamdulillah, thank you so kindly, Brother Mark, for allowing me to come in and just say my little bit about it. I'm just excited, and I'm looking forward to it.
Alhamdulillah. Well, there was a whole lot of excitement in this year's 2022, time to be grateful. I do want to give our beloved sister Imani Abdullah, who did a fantastic job as the chairperson, the whole city. It, you know, it's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, behind the scenes and everything. I'm going to get a drink of water. So please, Sister Imani, please share with the radio listening audience what it is that stood out for you and this year's 2022 Time to Be Grateful that was held there in the nation's capital. Sister Imani?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. The first thing that stood out for me was the culture night. I mean, the performers and their presentations were very professional. It was very entertaining. It was family-oriented. Everybody could enjoy something on the show. We had West End Reed, which is who is actually Kyrie Alameen, and he's the son of Imam Jamil Alameen, and that was his first time coming to events with our community, and he was just so excited and so elated about how we functioned and how we treated him and how open and welcoming everyone was at the event. And just to hear another Muslim that was raised in the African-American community but in a different community setting to witness and see all of that was very exciting. The second thing that was very exciting to me was the interfaith Chinese. We had several representatives from the different faith-based communities, and they all spoke about how they enjoy working with us as Muslims and how their fears or their concerns had been dispelled over a period of time and how they look forward to continuing to work with us as a Muslim community, and that they also had experienced other Muslim communities and they enjoyed working with us most. I kind of thought that was very special. So I really appreciate hearing that, those comments from individuals. And the last thing was the private interviews. We had a young man from our community to conduct some private interviews with individuals who were from the community, and he's planning to put that together to share with the community at some point. And he had a chance to garnish and harness individual discussions with believers who he wouldn't have access to as easy without doing this at the Time to Be Grateful. So I really enjoyed hearing about it, being a part of putting it together, and hearing the outcomes of those events from the public.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Now, see, you see why I had to have Imani Abdullah, the chairperson for this year's host city, Washington, D.C., on, because we wouldn't have known that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So that's excellent. And, of course, it has become traditional for the time to be grateful, as it has been for many of the other entities that we have established in this community to have interactive faith-based dialogue, which is very, very important. And you have to say that Allah bless Imam W.D. Muhammad, that's one of his initiatives, and it's been followed on since his transitioning in terms of having interfaith, and as long to see us have even intrafaith dialogue. I'd like to see some of that also, too. I'm just kind of putting that out there for those who hear and those who be making decisions and all, too. Very, very important to have intrafaith as well as interfaith dialogue. And I agree with Sister Imani. I was present for the culture extravaganza. The culture extravaganza. It was an extravaganza. I have to share this that I heard from our beloved leader and teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Imam Muhammad once said to us, he said, you know, he said, we can attract more people to our way of life through good culture expression than an imam giving a good khutbah. And if you think about that, it's true. The one thing about African-American people, we love what we call entertainment. But in culture, it embodies our principles and our values. If you would have been to the culture extravaganza in Washington, D.C. this year, everything was halal. But it had a message in the music. It had a message in the poetic expression. It had a message in whatever was being presented. You know, even our beloved brother, LaRon Hassan, a.k.a. Young, did an excellent job, and he also participated in the learning lab, a workshop in terms of marriage in Al-Islam, as he and his wife, Crystal, who also performed. They've been married for 50 years, and he would have been on tonight listening as I talked to him personally to inform him, but the day is his wife's birthday, so you know what that means. He could be present, alhamdulillah. But I'm just echoing what Sister Amani said. Everything was done with excellence. The workshops, the various workshops were excellent workshops. They had outstanding presenters, very knowledgeable, where you could go and get information, education. Education is the number one priority in this community. And this is why the Muslim Journal is so very important. We may not look at the Muslim Journal as being educational, but how many of us cannot say that we have learned so much from picking up that newspaper over the years in terms of helping with the cultivation, the education, the stimulation that it brings to us and what's going on with our community, but also things that we just didn't know. Very, very important. I have to say that. So as we begin to wind down, I'm going to give everybody a minute and a half to 2 minutes for closing remarks. And I know when I have my good friend, Professor Aisha Mustafa on. She has a special 2 minutes. Her 2 minutes is not like everybody else's 2 minutes. Y'all know what I'm saying. 2 minutes is maybe 5 minutes with her, so I allow her to do that. But it would give everybody 2 minutes for any closing remarks. And please, either Imani or Joan, please give information, or even you, Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, in terms of how people can go to the website, you understand, where they can subscribe to the Muslim Journal, where they can make donations. It don't just stop, you know, with the time to be grateful. Muslim Journal accepts donations all throughout the year. If you feel in your heart that you need to do something, you don't have enough barakats, then donate to the Muslim Journal. Better still, make that donation count to the point where you help to give somebody else that can't afford to get the Muslim Journal. You know, it's very reasonably priced and all. So
Excuse me, Mark. You do have one other caller come into the queue.
Okay. Well, we're going to take this other caller, ask them to be as succinct as they possibly can. Let's bring them on and see what they have on their mind.
718-344. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam. Haji Lala, Ford Valley.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome to the MGM Roundtable. You have a question or comment for our esteemed panelists today.
The comment, at the dinner, there were the food was delicious. I didn't eat the chocolate mousse, whatever that was, but I thought maybe they should have had maybe a better choice of dessert. That was one thing. Another thing is that the I got a chance to meet a lot of the people that were there. Everybody seemed like they were having such a good time. And I'm so wore out because I didn't get much sleep. I was trying to attend some of everything. And I was in that bench room, and I think I bought from every table. But I enjoyed myself. And when we do go to Jersey, I pray that we don't go to the Best Western. Let's find another hotel, if we can. You on the panel, please find another hotel. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you all.
Okay, well, thank you so much, sister. You know, just want to just say this here, you know, and I have to be supportive, you know, of the efforts and the work, you know, because I know that the believers did the best they could. And I always subscribe that good can always be better, and better can be best. As I used to always give a little poem to my children, there's good, better, and best. Never give it a rest until your good becomes your better and your better becomes your best. And so I know that Newark is going to be even better, you know, because this is a natural progression and all, and we know the commitment of our beloved brother Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad and all. But just as it was said, I think Sister Amira said it, we have to be helpful even though it's in Newark. We have to act as if and though we are hosting it. We have to support it. We have to come there. We have to ask and see what is it that we can do. What is it that you need us to do? I'm going to utilize this platform, as I have for previous years, to promote the time to be grateful. You know, this platform is not for me. It's not for a showcase for anyone in particular. It's for entities like the Muslim Journal and what it is that's being done. I just have to say that. So it is always something, you understand, that can be improved and all. But I think overall, outstanding job that was done by the committee there that was led by our beloved sister Imani Abdullah. And of course, you know, this is a big role of responsibility. You know, a lot of people want the publicity of hosting something, but when they see all the work that's involved, there's a lot of work that's involved. And one thing about it is that these persons that I have on tonight, they didn't run from the work. Joan Najla, she didn't run from the work. She hasn't run from the work. It's a lot of work. The host city, there's a lot of work. The chairperson, there's a lot of work. Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, he's not running from it. The Muslim Journal is being moved. The new location is there in Newark, New Jersey. I just can't wait. I'm excited already, you know. And so those of us who know our financial situation, start now. Don't make any excuses. Start now saving to make sure that you're actually there. So we're going to start with you, my dear sister, Imani Abdullah, in terms of giving you a minute and a half to 2 minutes for any closing remarks that you would like to leave with the IWDM radio listening audience. Sister Abdullah?
Yes, I just want to, again, thank everyone for their attendance, for their support, for their interest, and for their kindness towards the comments that were made about the event, and that I look forward to attending the next A Time to Be Grateful in New Jersey. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, correct. In Newark. In Newark, New Jersey.
Thank
yes.
God.
It'll
yes.
be right there on the East Coast, close
yes.
by.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. But thank you so much. I want to thank you. Thank you so much for the outstanding job that you did and your staff. And please extend the greetings to all of them from me, Mark Shahid here at IWDM Radio. Outstanding job, you know. Thank you. We appreciate that. And now I want to go to our national chair, our beloved sister, Joan Najla, for her closing remarks. And please, somebody got to give that information, you know, in terms of the website and everything, because maybe some people that have heard this here be inspired. They might have a few dollars they want to send to Muslim Journal. It's not too late. The fundraiser still goes on, at least here on IWDM Radio. Joan, what would you like to
say
with the radio listening audience in your 2 minutes?
Yes, I will start with the website. It is www.muslimjournal.net. And you can get your subscription. You can view your subscription. You can donate. There's a page called ATTBG that tells you about all the upcoming events. There's another page called the Muslim Journal page where it shows you how to donate. And there's 6 ways to donate. And so as Imam, you know, Kareem has mentioned, that he and I work closely together, that Muslim Journal is a business. We're going to be doing things throughout the year. We're not going to wait to A Time to Be Grateful. A Time to Be Grateful is the landmark that allows us to have visibility and exposure and a major event that we showcase to the world, and that we network and we come together. But however, all through the year, Imam Kareem, he probably will talk more about this. He has a call weekly that we're putting things together on a weekly basis, building up for A Time to Be Grateful, because we do want and we do appreciate all the support, and we do want you to come out and support all the events throughout the year, as well as A Time to Be Grateful. We are looking forward to doing things exciting. There is a basic template that we follow, but each A Time to Be Grateful is different. Like you said, Mark, it's like birthing a baby. It's new creativity, it's new information, and working with the community of Newark, we're looking forward to doing some new exciting things, and so we want that support throughout the year, as well as A Time to Be Grateful, and go to the site and donate. And remember, the Nation of Islam had soldiers that sold the paper, and that made the paper profitable and successful. So we are going to all have to become vendors
We're not soldiers, but we're all going to have to become vendors. And
yes.
We're going to have to sell this paper and increase the numbers. We are, that's our responsibility. That's our legacy to lead to the next generation.
Alhamdulillah. So very, very, very well said. And so, Joan, I'm depending on you as you've just given that message. There'll be things that'll be happening in 2023. Please keep me informed. I'm just a telephone call away. Keep me informed, and we'll say the same thing to our beloved brother, Imam Muhammad here, to keep me informed, because you have an open invitation here on IWDN Radio. This is your platform. This is your platform to get the news out. That's what the MGM Roundtable is designed for, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. This message is not only sent to those here in the continental USA, it's sent to the people across the world. So please utilize this open door. You always have an open door policy. Let me know far enough in advance, and we'll make sure that you have a presence here on IWDM Radio. And so last but not least, the president of the Muslim General Board and the host city for 2023, Imam Abdul Kareem Muhammad, your closing comments, if you would, please, in your 2 minutes plus that you would like to leave with the radio listeners. Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. Thank you again very much, Brother Mark, for your outstanding, excellent work that you're doing. Got to go fast. I want to say a couple of things to our honorable listener audience. You know, in the scripture, it talks about how people will try to undermine and deceive us, brothers and sisters. Very serious. When it talks about where it says, let us go down and break all their bonds so that they be a people no more. Now, we have to take that real. So I wish I could comment a little bit more on that, but I want us to reflect and think on that very deep of what's going on. Let us go down and break all their bonds. You think that that's not serious? That's serious, brother and sister, you know. What it's talking about is mean cutting off, to be right to the point. Let us go down and cut off all their communications so that they will be a people no more. And I'm told that whenever the enemy wants to harm you, they cut off your communication. Muslim Journal is our communication, our lifeline.
Right.
And our success is your success. Muslim Journal's success is all of our success. And we want to continue to not just be history. Listen to what I'm saying. And he closed my, we don't want just to be history. We want to continue to make history. And that's what
yes.
we did out in the they made history. So let us reflect and think on the value and importance of Muslim Journal. And what our paper, what it does, and I want to just share this quickly with you in the last couple of minutes, real quickly, is the Muslim Journal, our paper, filled the void left by other media outlets. You heard what I just said? Muslim Journal filled the void left by left out by other media outlets. So Muslim Journal highlights and gives the picture of us as Muslims and our presence in America and the world. Do you think other media going to do that? Okay. So that's the value and importance of us maintaining and keeping the Muslim Journal very much alive. And my closing remark, and again, Brother Mark, thank you. We are honored for the opportunity to address the radio audience throughout the country. And I want to just conclude with this here and leave this on your mind. We can all help. We all that's listening can help by reaffirming our support of the indigenous Muslim. Who are we? We are the indigenous Muslim. And, for example, Imam W.D. Muhammad and he made and our ancestors. That's what we are fighting for. And our ancestors who came to these shores through the transatlantic slave trade. Now, I want you to think about that, because I'm thinking about it. And that's how serious it is. that we support this institution of Muslim Journal, you know. And it gave birth, we know, the indigenous Muslim here in America, who is us, Imam W.D. Muhammad, gave birth to New Africa, gave birth to New Africa. And that's why we ask you to reaffirm, brother and sister, your support of Muslim Journal. And lastly, if I may, Brother Mark, real quickly, we have a special meeting this Sunday, if I'm in order, that we invite all of you to come on this coming Sunday. Please write this down, and then I'm finished. This special Muslim Journal business conference meeting will be this Sunday coming, December the 18th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm asking you and appealing to you to please join us on this important Muslim Journal business meeting conference call. The number is, and I'm finished, please write it down if you don't mind. And Brother Mark, if I'm in order.
No. By all means, get that information, please.
Yes, sir. Please write this number down, and we'll be grateful and thankful if you, and honored if you would join us at this on this important business, Muslim Journal Business Meeting Conference call. That number, 605-475-4000. I'm going to read it one more time, 605-475-4000. And the access code or PIN number is 302-268-POUND. Again, 302-268-POUND. Brother Mark, thank you. Shahid, thank you so much. Keep up the excellent work, my brother. And we all love you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, and we love you too. I want to just say, you know, in closing, there's a little story I always tell, say, whose job it is everybody's job, because everybody thought that somebody would do it, which probably anybody could do it. It seemed like nobody wanted to do it. But because everybody thought that somebody would do it, which anybody could have done it, nobody wound up doing it. Out of these bodies, nobody is not an option, because if nobody does the job, that means we get nothing. Anybody is a little bit better option, but not the option that we want to use, because if we get anybody to do the job, we shouldn't be surprised if we just get anything. So this only leaves two bodies, everybody and somebody. And everybody is somebody. And if everybody see themselves as somebody and they would do something, then everything that we need to do would get done, and everybody will have a hand in it. If it is to be, we should say, it's up to me. And if we get enough me's, we can turn that M upside down, it's up to we. It is up to we to do what it is. And just as Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad has said, this is a job for all of us. You know, we are making our own history. This is our own history. And this is something that we know is the right thing to do. So I'm asking you to be charitable. I'm asking you to keep your subscriptions up. And if you have the wherewithal, make sure that those who are less fortunate, that they have an opportunity to read the Muslim Journal. And please, please attend that meeting. If you can, by way of conference, listen in, tune in, and take this information back to your respective masajids and Islamic centers in association with Imam W.D. Muhammad. Make a commitment, recommitment. How can we help, you know, the upcoming 2023 to be held there in Newark, New Jersey, inshallah, God willing, is what it is that we do locally, you know. Put it in your announcements. Let the people know. Did you pick up your Muslim Journal? That we have to support this here. This is the lifeblood of our community. Very, very important. I want to say to our distinguished panelists, you have an open door policy here on IWDM Radio. As long as I'm here and hosting the MGM Roundtable, just keep me informed as to what the Muslim Journal is doing. We can always give you some airtime to get this information out to the community. We ask that Allah bless us, bless our beloved sister. She is actually traveling. Imam Talib Sharif, the resident imam there, is also been informed is also traveling and all. I do want to thank the radio listening audience for tuning in tonight for both the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, the MGM Roundtable, because without you, there would not be IWDM Radio, nor would there be productions such as you just heard tonight. I want a special thanks to my dear sister, the last minute, in terms of a special engineer, my beloved sister, the priest of High D, always on the case and everything. Want to give her a plug, and she's a very distinguished, esteemed host herself. Each and every Saturday night, she hosts a learning lab, Alice Farm in Focus, on our sister station, AM 360 Radio. And that starts each and every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it's 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on American Muslim 360. That call-in number for that learning lab for new Shahadas, and as she says, seasoned Muslims, it's a good refresher course for you. You dial 515-605-9891. That's 515-605-9891. Please tune in to that each and every Saturday night on the sister station, AM 360 Radio. And I want to say the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow it will be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we will start a mini-series on good communications in our relationships. Yes, we're going to go through that. And at the end, we will do some role-playing. Well, yeah, you can do some role-playing. I've already checked with Karan. She says she's good with that. We'll talk about the wrong way, and we'll talk about the good way. But we're going to give you some information and education that will help you. So please tune in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That's tomorrow. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And if you're immobilized and can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with Salat to Jummah with our beloved brother Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, each and every Friday. It starts at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. It is 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir, as he always has very distinguished guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. It happens each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, it starts out with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam. Let's make dua for the brother. Took sick a little bit late tonight, so the priest of Hadi was on the spot, as stood in for him. Make dua that he is feeling much better. But anyway, he has instructor Abdul Shaheed, a symptometry instructor, that is with him each and every Tuesday night on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. You need to bring your pen and pad for that learning lab, a lot of terminology. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And that brings us back to the night, which is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed Dr. Patricia Slaudine. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we have an outstanding resource book that we're using, which is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, for various ages, different examples for various ages. You do want to attend that, as we will be on part three on clear, effective communications in terms of with parents to children. So you want to tune in for that, and that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. You just heard it tonight as we had our very distinguished esteemed guest, principals from this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful, held in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast time here on IWDM Radio. Last but not least, don't forget the Muslim Journal. Do not forget the Muslim Journal. If you drop your subscription, just renew the subscription. It is a prescription for us. It is needed and necessary. And if you have the wherewithal, let's make sure that you provide one for a member of your family, a friend, a colleague, an associate, a neighbor, maybe a pioneer, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. So with that being said, I want to thank all of you for attending tonight's productions here on IWDM Radio. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I'm the designer. It's all folks.